Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thursday, September 11th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily lectionary. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend Joel Krogan from Hope Lutheran Church in Batesville, Arkansas. I like the name of your town. Welcome to His Time, Pastor Krogan. Thanks so much for being our guest this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Batesville, Arkansas. Where is Batesville, Arkansas? I should know this with my last name being Bates, shouldn't I?
Maybe you should, but most people don't, because we are about 90 miles northeast of Little Rock, maybe 130 miles northwest of Memphis. We're kind of couched up in the middle of, well, nowhere, in northeast Arkansas. The joke is there's no easy way to get here, but that's kind of where we are.
Well, very good. I'm sure it's nice. Tell us about Hope Lutheran Church there in Batesville, Arkansas.
Okay, Hope Lutheran is a fairly small congregation. Like I said, there's no easy way to get here, but if you ever find yourself up here, please come in and visit us. As I was thinking about describing the congregation and thinking about how we live in Christ, I thought about, kind of from a pastor's perspective, how Paul rejoices in the congregations when he realizes that they've held fast to the teaching that they've learned and that they are indeed living out their lives in Christ so that the world can see. And as a pastor, I appreciate that because, and I'll just give one quick example. We kind of sponsor the pro-life ministry here in town along with some of the other churches as well. Mm-hmm. We have some of our members here who are fairly active there, and it's just a great thing to see God working in them, doing this great work, and not just them doing these things, but also the rest of the congregation in their wonderful support of what's going on there. And I just think it paints a wonderful picture of the Christian church in action in the world.
Very good. They're standing up for life, for the sanctity of life, and protecting the life of all humans. That's great. Well, I'm so glad that you're there with Hope Lutheran Church in Batesville, Arkansas to bring God's Word to that community. And speaking of God's Word, we are studying Philippians chapter 3 this morning, verses 1 through 21. Any background or context you'd like us to understand as we dig into God's Word this morning?
Just briefly, Paul here in chapter 3 gets into a little bit of warning against false teachers who are teaching works righteousness, and of course that goes contrary to what the scripture tells us, and as we go through we'll see this, that he holds himself up as an example of their teaching in his previous life, and how that is all for naught, that justification through Christ and by faith alone is the only way that people gain salvation. But we'll see that as we go through here.
Very good. We are studying Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 21 this morning with Pastor Joel Krogan from Hope Lutheran Church in Batesville, Arkansas. If you have questions, give us a call or an email. The phone number's 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us your questions and comments, kfuo@kfuo.org. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Let's start with that, and then I'll go on to the next paragraph. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. Paul here, he begins using the word brethren just as he called the people of Philippi my beloved in chapter 2, and the language is pretty important because, you know, he's saying my brothers and sisters in Christ, he's making himself one with them and them one with him. As he brings his warnings, they'll understand they're not in it alone, that he also is included in all of this. And it gives us a picture of that very close relationship between the Philippian saints and Saint Paul. And it's made even more so by the fact that together here, as he says, they shall rejoice in the Lord. When Paul writes that for me, and I have a different version of the Bible in front of me here, but he writes, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you is safe. There are really two schools of thought on this. One school of thought is that he's talking about the rejoicing and that he it doesn't bother him to keep telling them that they should be joyful in the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. And the other side of this is that he doesn't tire of warning them to keep them safe. And I kind of lean toward that second meaning, but really, as I thought about it more and more, I don't see this as an either-or situation. It's more of a both-and, because he does talk about joy and rejoicing, you know, quite often, and it's good for the people. And yet here he is leading into his warning about false teachers. He's being very diligent in his duty to warn the saints about them. He's, you know, Paul is doing his job as a watchman. He's sounding the trumpet again to protect God's people from those who would lead them away from Christ. It really, it doesn't bother him, as he says, to have to repeat such things, mm-hmm. because he's doing it for the sake of God's people and for their good.
All right, verse 2, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. All right, look out for the dogs, he says, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh.
Yes. Here in this verse, we have the actual warning now about these false teachers, and as is often the case, Paul doesn't pull any punches. He just says it like it is. These Judaizers have caused problems in some of the other churches, and so the language here is very strong. It's very clear. One thing that's kind of interesting is his use of the word dogs here. It's kind of a pejorative or a put-down that Jews would use against the Gentiles. It was an insult to them. And so here it's kind of neat because Paul turns and uses his own word against them, declaring them the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Very clever. And now here he uses evil workers. That's, you know, pretty self-explanatory. Their work is against the gospel, so it's evil, but it goes a little deeper than that. Their very characters are evil, because they are going about doing the work of the devil and declaring that the works of the law are what gain favor with God. And then he moves to that last warning against the mutilation. In some Bible versions, it's called the concision, but mutilation points paints a very clear picture, really, of what Paul's trying to get across about this evil teaching. And it's important to make a distinction here. Paul isn't talking about Jews who have been circumcised. He's talking about the Judaizers, those who don't distinguish between law and gospel, and their insistence that physical circumcision is necessary to be in God's flock. And so the mutilation, in effect, is what Judaizers have done to the gospel by their demand for physical circumcision. They're really mutilating twice here, because to them they don't know the freedom of the gospel. They just cling to these outward works of the law.
Mm. So those mutilators of the flesh, those who insist on circumcision. Mm. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh.
Okay, here once again, Paul joins himself together with these saints. They're in this together. They're united in the cross of Christ. They are, in fact, the opposite of the Judaizers who distort the gospel with their teaching. And so these Philippian people and frankly, all Christians, they are the circumcision. They are the true Israel. And they're made that way not by blood of physical circumcision, but by the blood of Christ. And so in Christ, who is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, a Christian is marked as God's child, not by physical circumcision, but in fact by baptism.
Hmm. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So our confidence is not in our own flesh. Rather, we worship by the Spirit of God. We glory in Christ Jesus. Verse 4.
Yeah.
Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. So here, if anybody wants to have confidence in the flesh, here are the reasons I have to be confident in the flesh, he says.
Yeah, exactly. Here, right away in the beginning there in verse 4, Paul is setting the groundwork for these following verses. And he explains that if he were to imitate the folly of the Judaizers, then he too could glory in himself, and he would be doing it outside of Christ. And as the scripture says, he even takes it a step farther that he has more reason to glory in his own works than do these opponents of the gospel that he's warning against. He excels above them in every way, according to the flesh. And as we go through, we'll see that. And He'll come and bring specific explanation for such a claim. In verse 5, then, he starts with circumcision. And really, circumcision was a main point of the doctrine of the Judaizers. They really hammered this point that it was necessary to receive that if one were to find favor with God. Now, Paul was circumcised on the eighth day in accordance with the law. He wasn't done to him later in life, as maybe some of the converts had done to them. No, Paul, he did it right. According to the law, he did it perfectly. And then he explains that he's truly an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. He wasn't part of the 10 tribes that disappeared. He was a Jew, for want of a better term, a real Jew whose ancestry you could still trace. He wasn't just making this up. And Paul goes through and calls himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a pure-blooded, real Hebrew. He's not a mixed race or mixed ancestry. And, you know, according to the flesh, he couldn't be much better. And in fact, we know that he was a Pharisee, and that meant he stood for a strong and complete observance of the law. And so, in fact, the Bible tells us he's the son of a Pharisee, so he's really got observance of the law in his blood.
So if anybody has confidence in the flesh, he's certainly it. He's the prime example of someone who should have confidence in the flesh.
Exactly.
Even as a persecutor of the church.
Yeah, Paul speaks there in 6 of his zeal as the persecutor of the church. As a Pharisee, he was very zealous for the law. We read how he did his job with great fervor. He did not look kindly on those who rejected the strict observation of the law by following Jesus. And so we know he went around and rounded them up. He would arrest Christians and have them thrown in prison. And we even remember the account of him standing by and nodding in approval as Stephen was stoned to death. And now you compare that kind of zeal and fervor to these Judaizers who, it appears, didn't go around doing that kind of thing. They really seem to be more of a proselytizing group of people. So Paul's showing here that he was probably leaps and bounds ahead of them in his zeal to preserve the sanctity or the carrying out of the law. And so according to the righteousness of the law defined by Pharisees, Paul is blameless. You know, he was an expert in keeping the law, and nobody would be able to find fault with him. All of these things together, again, they show that if anyone by any outward measure could claim to be good and righteous according to the law, it's Paul.
Verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So, but whatever gain I had, I counted as lost for the sake of Christ, he says.
Yeah, he says all those things, and those are the things that were in the previous verses. Paul one time considered gain, considered them very important and really the most important thing. And they still are by the Judaizers at this point. Well, Paul came to know the real truth, that, that these things mean nothing as far as salvation is concerned. His earlier belief, for instance, that it was great to it was great gain, really, to be in the high councils of the Pharisees, well, that ended up not being true. And all of these outward things, all these outward facts and these actions, they really, they did him no good. It's only Christ that could be considered gain to him now.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the listener lines. Let's go to Mike here in St. Louis. Good morning, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good. What's your question this morning, Mike?
Well, I just want to say first that a dog is a male prostitute. That's why it's an insult. But my question is that where Paul says he's participating in the suffering with Christ. Could that also mean that he's also participating in the redemptive suffering with Christ also?
Good question. Thanks, Mike. Pastor, if he is participating in the redemptive suffering?
In the redemptive suffering? Well, here's my answer to that. We're baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ. So in all things redemptive, in fact, we are joined with Christ. And also as we walk the earth, we are with his suffering too. And I'll get to that in a sec here, but basically we are enemies of the world because Christ is an enemy of the world. So, yeah, we are joined together with him in all of these things and all of his work. He has made it so.
Very good. So we are joined with him in baptism in all these things.
Right.
Verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes by the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay. Here in 8, Paul kind of expands on what he said in the previous verse. You notice the language he uses now, it's all things that he counts as loss. So he's kind of widening the spectrum of things that really don't matter anymore. He emphasizes the point that things of the world mean nothing as long as he knows Christ. Now the knowledge of Jesus Christ has filled his heart and it's filled his mind, and so he gladly casts off everything else for the sake of Christ. And so true is this, that he calls all things rubbish, and actually in some translations the word dung is used to show how little he thinks of all these things and how important it is just to cast off all things of the world in order to find gain in Christ.
Hmm. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith. This righteousness depends on faith.
Yeah, yes, it does. Paul's great desire here is to be found in Christ, to be part of the heavenly kingdom. And he's, having been converted by God, he knows that what he used to see as righteousness is no righteousness at all. And he desires a righteousness that is greater, one that really isn't measured against the law, but instead is granted through the gospel. And this righteousness, it has to be grasped by faith. There is no righteousness of man, really, that can stand in the face of God's holiness. So that leaves us, if we live according to the law, short of the glory of God. And so Paul here is teaching about righteousness that is received through faith in Christ, the righteousness that is given to us by God for the sake of Jesus, not based on any set of ordinances or any kind of actions of men, This righteousness received by faith is based upon Christ alone.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead.
Okay, well, we know that here Christ has long ago been revealed to Paul, and we know the story of how that came to be on the road to Damascus. And in faith, Paul rejoices in the power of the Lord's resurrection here, which really is the seal of redemption for Christian people, well, redemption of the world, frankly. And so as Christians, we also join Christ in his sufferings, and it's a little bit of what the caller was getting toward, that we share in all of these things with Christ. And the world does hate us because it hates him. That's okay, because we're joined with Christ and he is the victor. And yet, in our sufferings, in this, as we walk through our lives in this earth, as Christian people, we are to put away our sinful flesh with its lusts and its inclination to sin. And in our trials and all of these things, we really are partakers of Jesus' cross. And so, if we die with him, then we know also that we shall live with him.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 21 today with Pastor Joel Krogan from Hope Lutheran Church in Batesville, Arkansas. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying. We're going to pick up around verse 12. Hope you can join us for that. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo at kfuo.org. Stick around. We'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever missed a live broadcast of one of your favorite KFUO programs? Well, let me propose a convenient solution for you. Visit the KFUO website, kfuo.org, and download your favorite program by way of podcast to your iPhone or other smart device. It's easy, it's simple, it's convenient, and you'll never miss another program. KFUO, the official voice of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the messenger of good news by way of radio, web, and podcast.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Joel Krogan from Hope Lutheran Church in Batesville, Arkansas. Pastor Krogan, anything else about that first section before we go on to verse 12? Anything else, any other comments you wanted to make before we press on?
No, I'll probably save that for the end here.
All right, very good. Verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider what I have made it that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature or think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. All right, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Pastor? Pastor, are you still there? Alrighty, well, looks like we're having some technical difficulties here, but hang tight. We'll get in touch with Pastor Krogan again here and get back to the conversation. We're studying Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 21 today. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo at kfuo.org. Be glad to take some calls or comments. You can always email us, or you know what? You know, if you have questions, want to know what's going on, with his time or any of the programs here at Worldwide KFUO, check us out on Facebook. You can find us there on Facebook. You look for KFUO Radio on Facebook. You can find out about a lot of the programs going on, what's coming up there. So go check us out. Like us on Facebook. That's even better. So then it shows up in your feed. You can see what's going on here at Worldwide KFUO. Be glad to have you as one of our friends on Facebook. You can like us there and see what's happening from day to day here at Worldwide KFUO. Keep abreast of what's going on. Also, don't forget that you can, if you're listening to a program, but you can't catch the whole thing, maybe you're listening live online or on the radio here in St. Louis, but you don't get to catch the whole thing, you can go back and listen to the archives online at kfuo.org and look for the on-demand section. There you can download the archives of previous programs. For example, you can go listen to yesterday's study of the daily New Testament reading. You can listen to all of yesterday's His Time online. You can listen to the conversations, the guests, and the study of the daily New Testament reading there. Just go to kfuo.org and look for the on-demand section there, and you can click on that, and that'll give you a chance to download them, or you can go to iTunes as well. Our programs are podcast in podcast form on iTunes. You can find them there as well. So hope you can listen to the whole program, but if you can't listen to the whole program today, go to kfuo.org or go to iTunes. You can find more programs there. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll get in touch with Pastor Kogan again and finish our study here in just a little bit. Stick around for more of His Time right here on Worldwide KFUO, Messenger of Good News.